Hello and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking. This is episode 5 and we are live. We're brought to you by PHP Architect and made better by our partners by PHP Score, but more about them later. This podcast explores the latest developments in PHP and what's it like to earn a living in PHP today. I'm your host, Mike Page, and I'm a developer at PHP Architect. And my co-host and longtime contributor to our magazine and now team member is Chris Miller. Hello,
hey,
Chris.
How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. You?
Yeah, not so bad at all.
Good, good. Okay, this is, as I say, live. So if you're watching this over in our YouTube channel, get over into our Discord channel. You can join in the chat. You can ask our guests questions. You can ask me and Chris questions. We might not answer those questions, but we'll see. Yes, and even though you can join in the conversation during the show, we are all in there. There's loads of great people in the Discord, in our Discord. Throughout the week, you can have conversations, get help with things, help other people with questions, and we can also sometimes talk about random stuff in there. As I say, we are also live on YouTube at the moment, so if you're not watching on YouTube, go over to YouTube, check out our channel, subscribe, like the videos, that would be great. As I said a moment ago, Chris has been a long time contributor to our magazine, PHP Architect. We have a lovely discount code for you listeners. Alive3 will give you your first 3 months free when you sign up to a year's digital subscription to PHP Architect. Chris is nodding his head because I actually got it right though from that time. So don't always get it right. Not only do we have our magazine, we also run an annual conference. And our conference at the moment is Call for Speakers, or what is it? They did talk about it on the other show on Thursday, and I can't remember what the terminology Eric was saying.
I think we're using Call for Speakers.
Call for Speakers is still open. If you'd like to come and talk, get onto the link and submit your talks. It'll be great to have as many people as possible, and it'll be nice to see people. If you don't want to talk, but you want to come over to a great conference, please do. It's a lot of fun. Chris, you spoke at it this year. I've been a couple of times as a team member. Very family kind of feel and welcoming feel. So it would be great to see you there. We also have a swag store. If you want to get some PHP Architect swag, t-shirts, some hats, cups, and like flasks, there's quite a few things in there. Some really nice designs on t-shirts, which I quite like. Okay, Chris, that is all of the housekeeping. I believe we've gone through the list. So over to you to introduce this evening's guest.
So this evening we've brought with us Saifedean Gamati, responsible for writing the new toolchain Mago.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
The joy of being live, you have to move things around as we go.
Yeah. One thing Restream hasn't quite got right, we have to do a lot of shifting.
Yes. So, yes, as you may or may not know, we always start with exactly the same question with our guests. How did you get into PHP?
Okay, so I got into PHP actually at an early age as a kid, mostly like playing around, trying to make things. So it wasn't professional or educational, it was just me trying to create things using code. And that's how I ended up writing PHP, initially doing some open source work. Later, it became into a career when I joined Symfony SAS, started working with Symfony, then with API platform, then different companies, and here I am now.
Awesome. So interesting that you started just playing about and then went into open source, which is, that's quite an unusual journey to go from messing about with code to I'm going to go and contribute to things for free. That is quite an amazing path to take.
It's mostly because when I was playing around, I wanted to look how people did some stuff. Like, for example, I didn't know how did routing worked in websites. So I went into frameworks and I went through their code, and how does this work? How does this happen?
Mm.
And that's basically how it started.
Yeah, and when you're looking through frameworks and the code there, I quite often look at frameworks and go, yeah, that's doing things. And then go back and try and work out what it's doing. I look at some of the code, like I've said it before in a couple of these, but code written by Nuno, it's like, that guy is a god. He writes things that I don't even understand. And it's amazing to look at other people's code and just go, yeah, I don't know how that works, but I'm going to find out.
That's my daily life.
Yeah.
Looking at something, oh, I don't know how this works.
But is that not just agencies, or is it...
I think so. I think it's just the thing of working with legacy code, and you always find something. You're trying to fix something, you stumble across a bit of code, and you go, I don't know what that does.
Mm.
So yeah, that's all fun, all good fun.
Yeah, and I suppose that sort of leads us on to the next question, which is obviously we wanted to talk to you around Mago and the fact this is a new toolchain for PHP. You chose to write that in Rust. Mm-hmm. Why Rust over, let's say, Go? Why choose Rust?
So the main reason for me at the time was familiarity, because I was learning Rust. I was trying to do things at Rust. But at the time I started this project, I was also working at Quizlet. And at Quizlet, my job was to create a compiler from Hacklang to PHP, because they wanted to migrate their code base from Hack to PHP. And during that, I had to write quite similar tools to the ones that exist in Mago for Hack, like a parser, Elixir, name resolution, and other stuff. And while I was doing that, I was like, okay, I think I can do this for PHP as well. So that's how it initially started. And then I was like, maybe I can add a formatter as well, because we will need that at Quizlet. And I added that, but then things got out of hand, I guess.
I mean, you wrote a linter, a formatter, and a static analyzer just for fun, by the sounds of it, which...
Yeah.
And I guess writing any form of PHP parser is going to be complicated, but writing it from scratch in a language that doesn't have one of them, in a language that's compiled, that must have had some interesting stories along the way of how you... building that up, and complications along the way, surprises you found?
Yes, actually, till this day, we still find like some bugs somewhere in the parser, because PHP has like this weird behavior that's not documented anywhere. And just one person tried it on a code base that's from 2010 and it didn't work. So, yeah, so it's full of surprises. I think every month now, at least we have one or two people opening issues because there is this one specific piece of code that doesn't parse or something like that.
Yeah.
And for writing the parser, generally, basically, I had to kind of reverse engineer the PHP owns parser, because there is no kind of semantics for PHP, like a documentation of how the language is parsed. So basically, we just have to figure it out from PHP's own C parser.
Yeah, so you were reading C code, converting it to Rust code, and somehow making this work.
Yes.
But not only making it work, you ended up with something that honestly is so fast it's unbelievable. I ran it on a 20,000 file code base, and it took 2 seconds. You pass the whole thing.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the feats of Rust. Like, it's the performance you would get with any compiled language, not just Rust, whether it's Rust C or Zig or any other language, you will get kind of the same performance. But I think what makes Rust appealing for this sort of thing is the ecosystem it has, and the features the language have make writing parsers or anything that has any type of pattern matching super easy. And this is not true just for PHP. There is also tool chains being made for JavaScript and Python with UV and OXC for JavaScript, for example. So yeah, Rust is a really good choice for this kind of problem, I think.
Mm. And pattern matching really is where Rust excels. It's it's almost like it's a GPU in the way that it can do it so fast. I know it's obviously not using GPU, but it feels as fast as if you were. That by itself is quite a feat. So I've actually had a question come in on YouTube. So let's pop that up. This is by Tripwit5, who says, what is the benefit of your code versus using Lexer?
I assume what they mean is using PHP, like C, parser, and Lexer. If that's the case, because in Mago we still have our own Lexer or Lexing code. And I think Lexers are something that's trivial that we don't need to basically bend to PHP just to use their own Lexer. It's I think one of the most trivial things in Mago so far. So we just made our own.
Yeah. So just a quick look at that, as it wasn't something I was familiar with. There is actually a Peckle extension that has a Lexer class, and that contains quite a lot of things where you could in theory do this in PHP, so parse PHP in PHP.
Of course, parsing PHP in PHP is something that people do all the time. There is the PHP parser package by Nikitia, which is used by PHP Stan, Psalm, and almost any other PHP tool that's written in PHP. And the main thing that distinguishes Mago from all those other tools is, number one, performance. Performance-wise, Mago is much, much faster than those tools. And the second thing is that Mago is not just one tool. It's not just meant to be just a static analyzer or just a linter. It's meant to basically be a complete tool chain for everything code quality. So currently, we have a formatter, a linter, and a static analyzer, but we just announced it yesterday. We are adding another tool called Guard, which is basically a PHP architectural guard to ensure that basically namespaces are only allowed to import specific stuff. Classes matching this pattern must be final, must use this attribute, must do this thing. So that's another tool we will be adding in the next release. And another thing we're aiming for by next month is the language server. So that will make Mago integrates with any editor you are using. And we also have plans for other tools in the future, post 1.0 release. A couple of these tools are the migration tool, which will allow you to migrate a code base from one PHP version to the next, basically automatically, or from a framework version to the next. And another tool other than that is PHP installation manager, basically to manage your local PHP installations. If you want to install a new version, delete one, add extensions, remove extensions, that sort of stuff.
And this is all being put in a single binary at the moment, which is quite incredible. The fact that you have one thing that just does all of this, it's not anything that is groundbreakingly new. All of these exist in other ways, but it's groundbreaking in the fact that it's all in one place. So Tripwit has just come back with, the reason I ask is because of Symfony and API platform. If I need a custom query, PHP mutates it and makes my query safe, and it makes it impossible to not use low level.
I think this relates to runtime things, which is Mago not involved in. So when writing PHP code, you will not use anything related to Mago. Mago does not involve itself at runtime. It's meant to be just a tool for code quality, something that you run either in your development environment where you are fixing issues, or in your CI to ensure that the code matches your expectations for formatting and typing.
So with the formatting, can somebody define custom rules for this in a similar way that they could for PHP, Stan?
No. So, first, our the Mago formatter is something that actually doesn't exist in the PHP ecosystem right now, because there is no equivalent to it in terms of the way it works, at least. I found only one equivalent called PrettyPHP, and it's not really popular, but that's the only thing that I found that works basically similar to how Mago FMT works. So Mago FMT can be compared to PrettyRGS or OXC formatter, because the way it works is it parses the code and rewrites it from scratch, basically one piece at a time. So every statement, every expression gets rewritten from scratch. But I think when it comes to custom rules, those are things that are that can be added to the linter and the static analyzer. So the things that we currently have in PHP, such as PHP CS Fixer or PHP CS, those are more like a linter than a formatter, because they don't really print back the code. They don't like rewrite the code from scratch. They just look for a specific pattern, and they say, okay, we don't like this pattern, and maybe they have an autofix for it. They can fix it automatically. Mago linter is the same. It just works on AST, finds some specific patterns, and it complains about them. Sometimes it can fix it for you. So, for example, if you are missing a declare struct type, it will complain about it and tells you, hey, just add the fix flag and I will fix it for you.
Okay.
And for the linter, we actually are planning on allowing custom rules. But this is for post one release. It's not coming soon. The custom rules will be written in PHP. They will not be written on Rust. So we will provide basically a PHP library that you can install in as a dev dependency, and define rules using it. So you will get AST, do whatever you want, and just give us back an error if you find any. And Mago will just find the local PHP installation, run that rule, basically send it over JSON, and just wait for JSON back. So that will be the way to define custom rules in the linter. As for the static analysis, which is probably something that also people want to define plugins for their favors. Mm-hmm. That's currently the current plan is to basically provide built-in capability for frameworks, at least the popular ones. And later, we will probably also allow people to write their own plugins, but those are going to need to be written in Rust and compiled to WebAssembly. Because if we are going to make them in PHP, then it's going to slow things down dramatically, because Mago will just have to stop everything, wait for PHP to boot, run something specific, and then come back, and that will slow things.
Yeah, that makes sense. On that note, I think it's a good time just to take a quick break and to listen and hear a message from our partners.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today.
Thank you, PHP Score.
There we are.
We thought we lost you then.
I mean, we've had worse. I remember the episode that was abandoned of John and Eric's.
Oh, yes, yes. Where we just lost Eric.
He had no internet connection whatsoever. He just kept dropping out. So that was an episode that didn't happen.
Yes. So, well, we have another question come in.
We do.
Tripwit, if you're still on YouTube, get over to our Discord as well. Join us in Discord and have a chat with us in there as well. Chris, I'll let you read it out while I'm
so.
fiddling.
What was the benefit of building it in Rust? Were the downsides or upsides that you can mention? I think it's something a lot of people don't think of using another language to write PHP.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there was a lot of downsides and upsides to it. The upsides, as I mentioned earlier, are performance and that Rust makes writing such tools easy. I think the downsides are basically it's more work for us. That's not the number one downside, because unlike other tools written in PHP, everything is available in PHP. You have the parser, the lexer, the name resolution, and for example, the PHP doc parsers, all those stuff are available as open source packages. You can just pull them in. But for us, we had to write everything from scratch. And another downside, I think, is the integration with the PHP ecosystem becomes harder. As I mentioned earlier, if in the future we are going to support custom plugins for Set Analyzer, they're going to have to be written in Rust and compiled to WebAssembly. They can't be written in PHP. Same with the linter tools. Even if we make people write them in PHP, it means there is a round trip in our side that we're going to have to call PHP and then come back. So there is basically the downside of integration is harder there.
Okay.
So Tripwit has just tripped over to our Discord. I know, I couldn't resist. So welcome to Discord, Tripwit. So one of the other questions I was thinking about was you've put these in a single binary, which makes sense in some ways, but in other ways could create overhead that's not necessary. So like holding an entire parser for holding an entire linter in the binary when all you want to do is run the formatter or the other way around. What are the sort of off plays that you considered in then getting to the conclusion of a single binary?
So I initially thought about having separate binaries, just like one binary per tool. But I didn't really see the need for that. As the binary itself is not that big in size, it's not like 1 gigabyte that you're going to have to download every time. It's just a few megabytes. And actually, most of that megabytes are the PHP stubs we have to embed inside the binary. So actually, if we remove the stubs, it's like 2 or 3 megabytes in total. So the rest is just stubs in there.
And let's be honest, people don't generally worry about 2 or 3 meg these days.
Yeah, so size-wise, it's not big. There isn't really that concern of people not being able to download it fast enough in their CI environment, for example. So that's not a concern. But another concern that I had for having different binaries is if I have different binaries, then we're probably going to have different configuration files. And that just starts polluting things. And it's one of the things I don't like about having a bunch of tools in my project is that the root directory ends up having like 10 different configuration file, each for a separate tool. And I hate that. I want just one file and that's it. So yeah, that was another reason for just having one binary and that's it. And so far, we didn't. There isn't any downsides to it. For example, there is Tempest PHP, which is the PHP framework that they use Magoo, and they only use the formatter and linter. They don't use Set Analyzer, but it's there. It's just there.
Yeah, it is optional to use them, and
yeah,
it's quite incredible you've managed to get it in less than 10 meg. I mean, if I tried to write anything in Rust, it would definitely be less than 10 meg because it never compile. I have tried. So in your branding and marketing, you've called this the oxidized PHP toolchain.
Mm-hmm.
What was the thinking behind that? What was that meaning for you?
So oxidization is basically a term that people use when they write existing stuff in Rust. It's basically just it's been oxidized. So that's the meaning behind the oxidized toolchain. It's because all those things already exist. There is PHP linters and static analyzers. And even for the upcoming feature, which is Guard, there exists, for example, DepthTrack that does this. So all the tools are not new. They are just made faster and all in one place. That's it.
So it's a term that comes from the Rust community.
Yes. So oxidized is just that.
Okay, cool. I mean,
it makes sense. Makes sense. Now you say it out loud. So of course, that's what it means. Okay.
It's how you describe petrol that makes things faster, isn't it? Oxidized petrol makes a car faster. So how could somebody get involved with Mago now? How could somebody sort of be contributing and helping with?
So currently we are using GitHub issue trackers. So if there is any either plans for enhancements or bugs, they are in GitHub. Anyone is welcome to contribute. If they know Rust, they can contribute by either implementing features or fixing bugs. If not, you can also help us with documentation. We are definitely lacking in that area a lot. So if you want to help there. But yeah, a lot of people also help us at missing extensions because, as I said earlier, Mago ships its own stubs. So people sometimes send PRs to add stubs to extensions or missing maybe stubs or to improve also stubs by providing better types to parameters or return types, stuff like that. So yeah, those are the ways to contribute. Also, if you are not really familiar with Rust much, you can pick an issue and give it a try and open a PR and we can help and guide you through the process because there is a lot of PHP developers who have sent us bug fixes and it was their first time writing Rust ever. So, cool. Yeah.
Mm. I think that's one of the things I've spoken about before is the fundamentals of programming don't change from language to language. You might have a different syntax of how to do something, but you'll always have a loop. You'll always have a branch. You know, a for loop and an if statement, they're going to exist everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about it quite a few times before about knowing if you know your fundamentals of programming, you can pretty much pick up any language. All you've got to do is understand the syntax of that language. The actual building blocks of how you build a program is the same no matter what language it's in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So talk us through how easy is it to actually start using Mango? Is it pronounced Mango? Sorry.
Mago.
So Mago. See, now one thing we haven't warned is I'm dyslexic. So I although I've heard Chris say and you say the words about 10 times in the last half an hour, I still haven't got it in my head. So I do apologize for mispronouncing it. But so what talk us through what it looks like to actually incorporate it into our project and then start using the package.
So we tried to make the basically onboarding experience of Mago as easy as possible. So in our initial versions, you had to download the binary and place it in your path directory and all of that. But after that, someone from the PHP community contributed and added a Composer plugin. So now you can install it with Composer and it will be in your vendor bin path. So no need for you to install it system-wide. And other than that, Mago also has the init command, which initializes your configuration file. It will read your composer.json to try to find where your code is and configure those paths for you. It will also try to detect if you are using Symfony or Laravel or PHP unit and enable the linter integration for those frameworks. And it will also ask you some questions, whether do you want to leave the formatter to its defaults or do you want to change stuff? And it will point you in each step to where the documentation is about that specific configuration section. So yeah, we try to make it as easy as possible for people to onboard, basically. One thing that's missing, and hopefully maybe in the future we can add, is to try and detect existing tools like and their configuration, such as PHP Salm or PHP CS Fixer, and see if we can basically read into them and extract some configuration from those files to make things even more easier for people. But that's currently not implemented, and I don't think it will be implemented soon because it's not a priority, basically.
Okay. Yeah, no, we certainly like easy. Keeping our life as easy as possible. It's hard enough sifting through code, trying to find a bug. Let's keep everything else as easy as possible. Now, that sounds great. And the fact that we can just run a Composer install, that makes things so much easier. Yeah, that's good. Okay, I think that's all of our some of the questions you've answered while you've been talking, but I think we've pretty much covered everything, haven't we, Chris? All our questions, or is there anything we missed?
There's only one that we've missed, which is, so obviously we've spoken sort of briefly about this, but what's the relationship between Mago and existing tools like Pest, Psalm, PHP Stan? And yes, there are things that you're doing that they're also doing, but the relationship with the developers of those, and are you seeing positive vibes from the community?
Yes, so from the users, at least the ones that we have in our Discord as well, are positive about it. We had a lot of people who basically like Mago, especially for its performance. Like one of our bigger users in their code base, for example, PHP Stan was taking about 30 minutes or 20 something minutes, while Mago takes just a few seconds. So against my advice, they switched to Mago, even though I told them it's still in beta, don't switch yet, just wait. And they were like, no, the performance is is good, and it's good enough for us now. As for relation with the other projects, as you mentioned, Psalm and PHP Stan, those are old, like established PHP tools that a lot of people are using, and I think they will continue using for a long time. And those are projects, to me at least, are resources for learning, because whenever I come across a bug, the first thing I do is open PHP Stan and Psalm and run it on those both tools to see how they behave. And I think I've went through both their code bases multiple times. Like, I've read through all of their code, every single line, I think, at this point, just to understand how they work and how they do things. And in my development process for the static analyzer, one of the things that I did was to write some really weird PHP code and try to basically debug it. And in that process, I also discovered bugs in Psalm and in PHP Stan, and I opened issue reports to both. I think over 30 bug reports to Psalm and same to PHP Stan. So I think of it kind of like a two-way thing. I learn from them, and I also try to report things as I go.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I do like about this community, that there's no animosity between most tool creators. You know, the fact that two tools do the same thing is kind of irrelevant. It's a choice that people can make as a user.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And me as a developer, I like choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think switching to, for example, from one tool to another, like if you are going to switch from PHP Stan to Mago, I don't think many people that already use PHP Stan will need or have the need to do that switch, because most people are working on small to medium sized projects where PHP Stan is fast enough. So that's not an issue. The main thing I'll trying to avoid with Mago Static Analyzer is having to wait the 30 or 40 minutes in CI in really, really big or massive PHP projects, which most people don't really care about because they will not encounter that. So I don't see personally the need for people to switch to Magoo Static Analyzer at all, even after the 1.0 release, stable release. If you're using PHP Stan, I think you're most likely will continue using it, and I don't see the need for you to switch over. So yeah, and Magoo will probably just be used by people that already use other parts of Magoo and they want to add static analysis, and well, it's available. You don't need to install anything else.
I think it's quite handy having it all under one roof, rather than having all these different packages to do the different jobs. Having it all under one roof is quite intriguing to me. And I've got a couple of personal projects that I might give it a whirl on and see how we get on. As you mentioned about the beta and 1.0, are you at 1.0 yet, or are you still in beta?
We are at 1.0.0 beta, I think. 28 at this point. Right. So this is the 28th beta so far.
All right. Okay. Have you got a release date, or is it you still just trying to get a few things in there, some more features in there before you go to the first version?
So we are planning on the RC version coming out in November. I don't have exact date for when in November, but it will be in November. Or maybe early December, and the stable release will be like in January next year, just after the holidays, hopefully. And our goal for the RC one, we currently have a open issue for the release candidate, like the first release candidate, and that is there is just a couple of features from PHP Stan and Salm that Magoo doesn't support that we need to add support for. And there is also the LSP. So language server, a lot of people want that to integrate Magoo into their editors. So we need to roll that out before the first release candidate.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the LSP myself as a NeoVim user. It's kind of every day that I'm using LSPs. So I guess that leads us to our final question, which is, what's your favorite feature in or coming to PHP?
Oh, I think my favorite feature right now is enums. I use them a lot. I don't think I've worked on a project in the past couple of years that I didn't use them in. They are super handy. As for the upcoming feature, I think from 8.5, it's the pipe operator.
I laugh because that is pretty much everybody's favorite feature in 8.5.
Yeah, I think everyone has said exactly the same thing. Yeah.
And on that, pipe operator is already supported by Magoo, so Magoo already supports 8.5.
Awesome.
Oh, brilliant. So,
yeah, both the static analyzer, the linter, and the formatter, all of them support it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you've already got the 8.5 support in there. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that's kind of advantage to us having written everything ourselves is that when new features get added, it's extremely easy for us to add them to our toolchain. We do not have to wait for basically the PHP parser, for example, to add support for it, and then for a version to be released there, and basically all those tools to to add support for it. For us, if something new gets added, we can add it to the Lexer, parser, linter, formatter, analyzer, all in one go, and the same day. So.
Yeah, so Trip says he's still on 8.3. Yeah, I think my personal project is still on 8.2, and I'm still working on one project, PHP Architect. If you don't know, we're also consultancy, so we code as well. We don't just produce a magazine and the conference. And there's a project I'm working on that I'm still trying to get to 8.2. So I'm a little bit behind trying to get to 8.5 at the moment. But yeah, That's pretty cool.
It's not as bad as one that I was asked to look at privately the year 2 weeks ago. Somebody came to me with a PHP 4.2 application and said, can we get this up to 8.5? No.
Well, not without a lot of money. You're going to have to put a lot of money into that. Wow.
I did suggest that I work for PHP Architect and we might be able to do it.
Yeah.
And apparently budget was not in their favor.
Wow. Okay. Well, we still have a little bit of time if anyone out there still has any questions. But whilst we're waiting for any questions to come in, hang on, what's this? The boss is in chat now. In fact, one thing I've just realized, what is this?
No better time to start working on getting the budget for PHP Tech 2026 before the year expires. See, if Eric was actually listening from the start, he'd know that we'd already said that.
Yes.
So we have another question from Trip. How big is your team?
It's just me. So currently it's just me. There is plans to have other people on the team, but nothing concrete yet. So
another one from Eric. If you're a speaker, CFPs are open until the end of the month. So are you going to be applying to our CFP? Come and speak in Chicago?
Maybe.
Get a call in, get a reply into the call for papers. And I mean, there's no guarantees of ever being picked, but it's one of those conferences that honestly, we welcome anybody, and first time speakers through to people that do this for fun on a weekend.
Yeah. And I've said this so many times now, so people must be sick of it, hearing me say it, but it feels very much like a sort of family sort of feel when you go to tech. I've not always experienced that, and maybe it's because I'm part of the team and that's helped, but I would say there's a lot of places or you'd kind of assume some of the higher names. So we have quite a few people, we have PHP's internal developers come to tech. In fact, they're in our Discord as well. Anyone still listening, you can come and talk to internal people in our Discord. They hang out there all week long, ask questions, anything you want. But there's this perception sometimes of organizations where you go to a big thing like this and the big names, the speakers, and the people, the package or developers and maintainers, the internals, they're all sort of cliquey and they're in their own little group somewhere else away from all the attendees. It's not like that at PHP Tech. Everyone just mingles, talks all the time. And I remember the first time I went as part of the team, and I sat talking to someone, and then suddenly realized who it was I was talking to. I was sitting chatting to Ben Ramsey, who was a release manager for PHP. It got packages out there that pretty much everyone uses. So it's a great conference to come down to. The chat seems to be hotting up now. We're coming to, it's kind of wrapping up fairly soon. So Chris, I hope you're keeping track of all this.
So Trip says he's going to pull one out and give it a shot for the call for papers, which is brilliant. Awesome.
Love to see you there. Love to see you there.
Eric has just discovered there's a delay. We have. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that name. Leandua Bladder, I think. Thanks for the insightful episode regarding Mego in AI. Do you think it could help PHP make a breakthrough in machine learning or data analysis?
I don't think so. but this reminds me of one thing that we're planning to add to Mego, which is sort of an inspection tool where you can kind of search for things based on types. So if you say, can you find me variables that contain this specific type? And it will kind of list their locations. And we're planning to add a lot of like inspection commands that allow you to do search in the code base, either using syntax or using type information. And that might be helpful for AI that work with code. They can just use Mago to search for stuff.
Yeah.
we currently have users who are using Mago, and for example, the current output for Mago, either linter or analyzer, is kind of big. Like, it's just maybe like 7 or 8 lines just to describe one issue. And for that, we have different reporting formats. So you can just pass a flag, say reporting format short. And usually when people that we have in our community are asking AI to, for example, fix specific issues reported by Mago, they will tell Mago to use the reporting format short, because that consumes way much less tokens. So that's maybe a tip for people.
See, I could see that working really well, putting an MCP in front of Mago and just saying, here's a tool that will help you get results faster. Because one of the things I find is if I'm using any of the CLI tools, if you're there waiting for PHP stand to finish or whatever, it times out before it's finished and thinks that the command failed. Mm-hmm. Whereas Mago will be ridiculously fast by comparison.
Mm. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, also MCP server is something that someone in the community has suggested. We don't currently have plans for it, but at least our LSP server will have an abstraction that could allow us in the future to build different kinds of servers, but they all use the same abstraction. So maybe that's something we can add in the future.
See, I'm thinking back to episodes that we've just done with Ashley Hindle.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that one up.
Putting the rules for Mago in there would actually improve it anyway, because Boost, for Laravel Boost, would actually call Mago if we told it to.
Yeah.
So if we could actually do that now.
Mm. That's in the Laravel, when you're using Laravel, obviously, because that Boost is part of Laravel. But yeah, if you're interested in talk about AI, we had quite a good conversation. That was last week's episode with Ashley Hindle from the Laravel core Laravel team, who basically built Boost in like 2 weeks. His first 2 weeks at Laravel, he just built Boost. It was quite impressive.
I love the fact that he like built something first and went, nah, that's not good enough. Got hired by Laravel and just said, I'm going to build better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's really interesting. So, yeah, if you're a Laravel user, you could tell Boost that it's Mango exists and it can, that would be really, really interesting. Really interesting.
So, turning back to conference. Trip said, what they're saying is truth. I've made lifelong friends, learned so much. Just when I thought I knew everything, I go to the conference and my mind is blown. I'll never forget Grim. I'll never forget Grim beating it into my head to use unit tests. There is a speaker that is called the Grumpy Programmer. And he talks on unit tests lots.
Mm-hmm. He's got a book on tests, hasn't he? But that we also, as PHP architects, have published. That's the word I was looking for. Mm. Published. So yeah. Okay. I think we're getting fairly close to the time now. But if there's any other questions, please pop them into the chat and we will get the answer for you, hopefully. But whilst we're wait for any, if anyone wanted to reach out to you and talk to you or just anything, is there any way people can get hold of you, or is it just through your GitHub or?
So you can reach out to me either in DMs on Twitter or Blue Sky in our Discord. I'm always there. And Mago's Discord, you can find the link in our website or email, which is azgezz@cartish.software.
Okay, there's the website there on the screen again for you. All this will be in sort of show notes as well. Oh, you've already got their Discord. Just seen Chris has popped the Discord up in. Oh, we both clicked on it at the same time.
There you go.
What happens then? It comes out and then disappears again if we both do it at the same time. Cool. Yeah. So head over to their Discord as well. And what have we got here? We've got some more chat going on. This is one thing we haven't done. We haven't had the chat up on the screen. But never mind.
I'm just laughing at Eric's latest. Yes, apparently you can't be friends with Ben Ramsey.
No, but that's a long, that's an ongoing long joke. If you're not aware, we'll probably let Eric tell that story another time. Yeah. So Tripp says thank you very much. So yeah, well, thank you very much, Tripp, for listening, for tuning in. Hope to see you in our chat during the week and on next show and the next shows. So just to talk about what's coming up before we go. Obviously on Thursday we've got Eric and John doing the main show, talking about everything to do with PHP Architects and some other random stuff. Normally baseball might drop in there or whatever. Also, somehow we've got such a backlog of pre-recorded shows that the decision has now been made. We are going to release a second episode this week. We have got another episode going live on Friday. Are we doing it 8 p.m. again, UK time? Yep. So 8 p.m. UK time on Friday, there will be another episode. I think it's been leaked who the guest is. So
somebody leaked it on social media.
Yeah,
no idea who that was. I mean, he did ask me for the socials and I gave it to him, so.
Oh, well, that's so you leaked it, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have got, and now I'm never quite 100% sure how to pronounce his surname, so I'm probably going to get it wrong. Is it, I do, you know what, Chris, I'm going to get you to say who it is, because I'll get it, so I don't get in trouble. Stalfa. I don't know why I can never get his surname right. So Matt Stalfa is on the show. It feels like quite a long time ago we actually talked to him, because we recorded that episode a while ago. So yeah, that's coming out on Friday.
At the start of September.
Start of September. Damn. Right. So that's Friday.
Matt Stalfa on Friday. Next Tuesday, we have another inside joke for Discord, fucking Steve's episode.
If you're an old PHP ugly listener, you'll understand that reference. We do talk to Steve about that reference and how he got that nickname. So yep. You have to tune in next week. That's a pre-recorded again. That will be next week.
Yep. That'll, so that's next Tuesday. Yep. And then next Thursday, John and Eric are off because they're doing another conference. So we actually have another episode going out next week as well. And that is Susanna. Susanna Kuchnova.
Yes. Yeah, that's because if you're going to Longhorn, you'll see, go and say hi to Eric and John. They'll be there, and as well as Joe. Our colleague Joe will also be over there as well. So go and say hello to them. But we're going to be taking their place with one of our pre-recorded. Trip, yes, very quickly. Trip, we both, myself and Chris, are in the UK. Oasis, yeah, they're okay. not my favourite. But yes, we are in the UK. Anyway, I think that is it for us today. So thank you very much for joining us and giving us your time to talk about this. I'm really intrigued. I'm going to have to go and play with it now. I'm going to, outside of work hours, Eric, don't worry. I have to be careful. The boss is watching. So, yes, thank you very much for your time this evening. I know it's the evening for you as well. And thank you very much for everyone that's watched this episode. And we will see you with our next episode on Friday.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye, everyone.